Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back with another week of Comics Talk Comedy.
Talk to me!
2 weeks in a row that we have a guest here.
So it's awesome.
It's exciting.
It's great.
It's exciting. We got to book these pros more often. They actually show up.
That's good. That is a good thing.
Yeah.
We need a guest to talk to.
Yeah, it helps.
So how's your week going?
That was good.
Pretty good week this week, actually.
Yeah.
It's been hot, though, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're going to get to that, or are you?
No, I don't want to get to it.
I
learned enough about the heat from the Facebook.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
It's nice and cool in here, though.
Yeah, it's almost chilly, you know.
No fires.
Yeah, Sunday. I think I did the store on Sunday.
Yeah, how
was that? I think it was bad, probably.
That was Mother's Day, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So I'm trying to think how my set went. Probably bad.
That's just a guess.
No, actually, now that I think about it, it was, I did okay.
Uh-huh.
The show overall was not good.
Mm.
But I think my set was okay, because I went up after Zoltan, and Zoltan, like, woke him up.
He did.
First person that did pretty good, and I kind of just played off of him. Like, I had a little thing where I was like, Zoltan, what's your Twitter? What's your Facebook? So half the set was just...
giving his credit.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you guys do any Mother's Day stuff on that?
No.
No, okay.
I didn't do anything. I worked all day. That was it. Happy Mother's Day to
Happy Mother's. We had our class on Monday.
Yeah, that was good. They really improved a lot.
They're really good. I'm excited for the showcase. For
yeah, them. But although they're all hesitant, they already pushed it a week, and they're all happy to push it. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's always hard to get them to actually do open mics and stuff, and so the showcase is like really the first show. So
right.
It's a lot of anxiety for that. But they really have improved so much.
Yeah, they actually had some jokes this time.
Yeah, and they all have good charisma and stage presence, and the hardest part is just writing material. But, I think this is one of our better classes.
Right.
Well, you know, it's small. There's only, what, five people?
Yeah,
one now?
We had one drop and then one additional.
Yeah, so. But I like it because it gives everyone a little more time. Give everyone 10 minutes instead of...
Right. I wasn't even looking at my phone. Normally, I'm checking my phone like this is going by slow. But today, when I checked... Well, that Monday, when I checked my phone, it was already over.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah, and then I did the open mic.
Tuesday, you did ACC?
No. Every week, I say I'm going to go.
Oh, really?
And then I just go home and sleep.
Quite the developments at ACC this week.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to comment on it, but...
Nope. Yeah. For those that don't know, our friend Will only uses Qs instead of Cs. So
yeah.
I told him he drives a Toyota Camry.
Camry, yeah. That's what I was thinking, that maybe all ducks are actually their bloods. Then they want to say cack, but they can't, so they say quack.
Quack.
Which is dumb.
That's fun, though.
Yeah.
No, he did text me, and I showed you the text. He actually writes,
with Qs.
You know, like, fuck that. It's like, fuke.
Yeah.
Fuke that.
Can't drop the C's.
These motherfuckers.
Yeah, he's a full blood.
Maybe he's just keeping it censored, you know?
Quencered.
Quencer. You know, I'm against quenchership.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
So that was this week.
Yeah.
And, I don't know how much we want to get into that, but it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, and then
Wednesday,
my show canceled because of fires.
Oh, the fires.
We're supposed to do one up in like Carlsbad.
The Willie Wilson barbecue.
Yes, his barbecue went awry.
Yes, that's right. Couldn't have the show. And then Thursday, did you do the... You did.
Yeah, I went to the store Thursday.
Yeah, you were part of the Tim Stromble showcase.
That was fun.
Yeah, it was all right.
Really, really fun.
He
was hosting.
Yeah, I went up second. And
we were both saying how weird it was that like there was like a host again. Because usually we either piggyback it at the store or Lou Brockman's there and he's doing keyboard and introducing people, which he was there.
Yeah.
So it was odd to have him there and then the host going back up and trying
to
host too.
I don't think it was good to have the host. Because, I went up second, and he basically opened the show with talking about his friend who died skydiving and how he wants to kill himself by choking on his own wiener.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first set of the night.
Good open.
And then I went up, and there was only like, when I went up, there was like 12 people.
Yeah,
there.
They got there late.
So they all came in after me, which was fine. Because
you were okay with that.
Yeah, it was.
It was funny, though. I liked what you did.
Yeah, it was whatever, but it was, And then
you're going to be there tonight? The store?
Fuck no. Why would I go there on a weekend?
Oh, I'm doing the early show. That's why.
Oh,
finally get to do the early show.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there. That'll be great.
100 years.
I can't wait.
Who's the headliner? Rick Ingram, right?
Rick Ingram, who ignored my message.
Oh.
I asked him to be the guest.
Should I bring that up to him tonight and get right in his face.
You should. You should ask him why.
So what's up? Our podcast isn't good enough for you?
Yeah.
You know who it's good enough for? Swanee, baby.
Yeah.
Who's here? Right?
Kurt Medium Fluff Puff Swan. It's
yeah.
here. He
made have it. You ever thought about changing it to Kurt Medium?
Yeah, actually I have, and I've really thought, you know, maybe not. I don't know.
You know Kai Medium Fluff Puff Jackson, don't you?
No, exactly, I don't.
Okay. Well,
you could probably tell me.
I wasn't sure that her name was how to say her name until I met her in person, and then she introduced herself to a friend of mine, and, like, she goes, hi, my name's Kai Medium, and he goes, did you say Kim? Kim? Like, your name's Kim? She's like, Kim Medium. I'm still saying it wrong. It's Kim Medium.
It's Kim.
Not Kime.
It's not Kime.
Kime Median. It's Kim Median.
It's K-Y Median.
That's right. It's
Median like in the highway Median or what? No.
Like a comedian.
Comedian. Oh, a comedian.
She's a stand-up Kim Median.
Oh, I see. Well.
Maybe it's just because she's a blood and she can't say it with a C.
Oh.
But then it would be Quamedian. Probably. Right?
I don't know.
Quamedian.
This is okay. Beyond us.
Yeah. Do I know her? Is she from San Diego?
I think, yeah. I think she was from San Diego.
She's in LA now.
She's LA.
Oh, she's
a lot
LA.
Of side meat.
That's yeah, she has side meat. She does a bit about her side meat, which is pretty awesome. It's a great,
well, before,
it's a great phrase.
Last thing, we did Winston's last night.
Yeah, that was fun.
Winston's, that was great.
Kurt loves it there.
I do love it there.
He hates it every
week.
He
spends his first 5 minutes commenting on the room. And there's a liquor sign, huh? You guys need liquor? What's wrong with you people? You like it here? Yeah.
What are you doing here?
It's a great place. Yeah. You've been there like
I've been there
27 times now, and you still spend the first 3 minutes commenting on the place.
I started,
And there's an Indian head. Yeah, what's that about?
Indian head. Did I say that?
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
No.
You just commented.
You just gave him material for next week.
I gave him more stuff. It's very observational comedy.
More things to hate
Look
on.
Look at the shithole, huh? Yeah. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
I get the, I get them on my side right away.
Right.
That's the important thing, you know, because
right.
you don't want people to alienate. You know, you want to get them like, they love me right away.
Sure. Love you, hate the place.
Yeah, they go, man, they're changing the
Why
name
are
of it
we
now.
Sitting here? Oh, thank God Kurt's here to walk
remind
us.
Kurt Medium.
Kurt Medium is here to guide us through
you
this.
You just wait
hole.
Till next week. Are you going to be there next week? I'm going to be doing material before I get to stage. I'm going to be like, as soon as
before.
I'm going to be walking through the crowd going, hey, there are two Jews walking to a bar.
Like you just walk in like, look at this door guy. He's ugly. Weird place.
No, I'm
weird
never
place.
Commenting on anything ever again. In fact, I'm not even commenting on this studio right now.
You know,
Kurt, fine studio.
I wanted to do research on you, so I went on your Facebook page, and everything is private. You are a mystery man.
It's private, really? Is there
You're
settings for this?
Yeah, okay.
Are we friends?
Jeff had said, he might not be a big Facebook guy, and I said, I don't know, but if you go to About Kurt Swan, it's just ask.
Oh, I didn't put a lot of stuff up there, yeah.
So that's why we're here today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So a lot of people just go to the Facebook, and then you just say, well, we'll get him here in person.
No, I usually don't do that, because I don't do any research at all.
But
it's true. Jeff might print something out for me, like, here's the person we have coming in. Don't act like a total idiot.
Yeah.
But today I just, you know, I figured, hey, let me look up Swanee Boy.
Swanee, see what you're doing.
But very private. You're a private man.
Yeah, and I don't know that I did that on purpose. Other than I'm not very good at the social media.
Okay.
Are you good at that?
No, I'm not. But you. So where are you from originally?
I grew up in Missouri. I grew up on a farm in
oh.
Missouri, northeast Missouri. I don't know. See if that makes a difference.
Was that a nice place? It was a nice place. Did you comment on it the whole time?
I was there.
Hey, look at this shitty bales of hay over here. This cow. He's
look
retarded.
This cow pooped on my foot. This is awful. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go somewhere and do comedy.
I was just wondering. So Missouri.
Yeah. Missouri is nice No, it's not. It's okay.
You didn't
really.
Do comedy there, did
no,
you?
No, I didn't. I start, well, on a farm, you're there, and you look around, and there you need, for comedy, and I've done this research, you need people.
Yeah, right.
You need an audience. And
that's
you look around, you go,
Winston's.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm at home at Winston's. I'm thinking, this is just like Missouri.
This is great.
This is the Missouri of comedy
it
clubs.
It is. Missouri. So you just practice on, like, pitchforks and stuff
You just
at
stand
home.
Out there to bale a hay, and you just go, look at that. What are you people doing?
Yeah. Hey, crops. What are you doing? How about growing?
Don't get all shriveled up there. What's wrong with you?
So did you start out here then?
I started in Chicago when I lived there before I moved here, and I did. I was trying to think because I thought, you know, I've seen people on the internet or somewhere Facebook, and they'll say, "Hey, it's my 10-year anniversary," and I think, really, you keep track of that?
I'm the same way as you. It's hard to keep track of.
Yeah. So I remember in Chicago. I think the first time I went on stage was a bar. Not unlike Winston's, I think.
You have no recollection of how long ago it was?
I think it was probably about 20 years, I'd guess.
Okay.
Yeah. But I was in Chicago before I moved out here, and it was a place that had an open mic, you know, and the rest of the time is like a lot of bars, you know, it's music, and they had a lot of guys wearing leather jackets and mohawks and whatever. And so I went up on stage, and I talk to people, not unlike Winston's.
Hey, look at this stupid mohawk, huh? Nice leather jacket. What is this shitty place? This is Chicago? It's so windy out.
And then I couldn't even remember. I had like 5 minutes of killer comedy.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't remember maybe 2 minutes of it. And then I just bowed out, exited gracefully.
Oh, I see. You said you left the stage early because you forgot the rest of the 5 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
That was like the first time, though.
Yeah, it was the first when you. I think it was the first time I actually talked into a microphone in front of people.
Okay.
And that's kind of weird when you've never done that. And they had a light. They had a stage because it was a music venue, so they actually had a, like Winston's, they had a big place set up for that. And so you're up there, and there's light in your face, and you're talking into a microphone, and go, ooh, this is loud. And then you just go, wow, there's nobody here.
What brought you to Chicago in the first place?
I went there for work. I got transferred there. I used to work for the FBI.
Really?
Did you know that?
Is that why your profile is so secret?
I don't know. Maybe I should put that stuff on there. No, that's what I used to do.
Really?
Yeah, did you know?
I didn't know that.
Oh.
That's why you're so observant, probably.
Probably observant. Look at that liquor sign.
Yeah, it's like, look at that. I'm taking mental fingerprints of all of you.
FBI. So you were in the FBI when you did comedy?
I started. Yeah, that's the thing. And maybe that's why I never, like, it was hard to promote yourself. You know, you go up there.
I bet.
It's like you go up there, hey, I don't want anybody to know who I am.
Right. What's the deal with these terrorists?
That's kind of like Tony. We had Tony Calabresi on last week. He was a banker.
Yeah.
Which isn't, I can't imagine the FBI, you got a lot of material from that.
Serial. Well, no.
That you could talk about. Well, we got to go to break here.
Yeah, go to break.
We got more with the story of Kurt Median.
Kurt Median.
Those are WFRadio.com, Worldwide Leader in Internet Talk. Bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back. Segment two.
Yes, we're back with Kurt Median.
Kurt
Median. Swami.
He got his first interaction with her, well, introduction to
her. I got to show him,
Yeah.
I need to get new business cards now, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether to put the fluff puff in quotations or just...
I think underneath it's got to say, side meats. Extra, with an extra side of meat.
Yes. So, yeah, we were talking about the, you know, trying to do comedy with the FBI.
Yeah.
So after that first time, did you take a break from comedy or did you try to do it again? Or
I think I went right back. You know, I think that was a successful experience. Let's go have more of that.
Right.
So, yeah, I went back. And then I started, you know, it's like anything where you find out, oh, that was the first open mic place. And then I realized that there are actually clubs that did it for real. And then you meet other people and they have their open mics and they have their own little procedures, you know, their little mystic ways of signing up. You know how everybody has their own little cryptic.
Sure.
Oh, you have to learn the rules, call in, stand on one leg, you know, raise your hand, and got to be there by 7, and you sign up, and you get on at 11:30, and all that kind of stuff.
And did you use FBI tactics to help get on?
Like, you know, I should have some kind of mace or something.
Well, you said you did some surveillance. How does one get into the FBI? Do you have to do law enforcement or something first, or what kind of training is required to the Federal Bureau of Investigation?
You know what they require is comedy. They stand
is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you tell any jokes?
What do you got? Got any jokes for us? Come on.
Come on.
Line them up.
This waterboarding stuff gets a little tired.
Yeah, tired. We need to keep them humored a little bit.
But now, I'm just saying, I don't know what you guys do, so I was curious.
No, they got an application process. You got to be, I mean, the basic requirements, you've got to be 23 years old at least, and then college degree, and that's kind of where you start. And then, you don't have to be in law enforcement. I mean, they hire attorneys, accountants, teachers, former military. There's a lot of former military people.
Okay. Were you in the military?
No, I wasn't. But they do give bonus, I think, in the application process. You get extra points for that somewhere.
And did you have a resume built, or were you like straight from the farm? Like, I know hay, and I can investigate cow pies. And
we got cattle rustling. We could do that.
So did you start in Missouri then?
I started in St. Louis. I actually worked in an accounting consulting firm for a while.
Okay.
After right out of college. That was like a real job with the suit and tie and all that stuff. I got out of college. Go, ooh, I got a job now. Look at me. And because that was completely different than being on a farm.
Like, right.
You know, where
so you were a good numbers guy, right?
Yeah.
Accounting.
I got the numbers guy.
And through the numbers, that helped getting into
I think
into
so,
that,
yeah, because right? They kind of hire people with accounting backgrounds. And so that helped.
Okay.
Here's the way the government works, for example. Like, I came to San Diego back, and there was this deal going on with a lot of, I think it was savings and loans. And so they said, we need... They're going to work a lot of bank fraud investigations.
Okay.
So I was in Chicago, and they said, hey, would you like to go to San Diego and work bank fraud stuff?
I see.
And I go, well, I'm not really bank fraud. That's not exciting, but I can go to San Diego, and that'd be cool.
Yeah. Right.
So I trade off. I said, okay, I'll go to San Diego. And then I get here, and then they say, hey, you're working bank robberies.
Ooh.
And that's completely different.
Wow.
Yeah, imagine
that's
so.
How that works. Like, here's a list. We need bank fraud people. Oh, bank something. We don't know. Just put it over here in the bank.
That's pretty exciting, though, bank robbery stuff. I mean, so did you investigate bank robberies?
Yeah, that's what I did when I first got here and for like 2 or 3 years. And
really?
And I think I met Tony Calabresi at a bank one time.
Was he robbing it?
Well, you know, he looks a little suspicious, but he does. Look at him, shifty eyes. Yeah.
Put the money in the bag, Swanee.
he says that he met me. And I came to a bank robbery because after they rob the bank, then you come out and ask people questions.
Uh-huh.
Anybody can't do this, you know. This is very complicated stuff. So we go into the bank after it's robbed and you say, hey, did you see anything?
Oh, I see.
Then you'd say, hey, where did they go?
Which way did they go?
And they said, well, they went out the door. Okay,
it's quite an investigation.
Yeah, and then you need to know, did they turn left or right after they went out the front door? Because a lot of times they just, well, if they went straight, who knows where they went.
Oh, then they're gone.
Yeah.
So before you left Chicago, were you making any headway in comedy?
Just tiny amount of it. I kind of got the idea. I didn't even understand the whole process until I started. Like I said, you know, you go out to an open mic and how do you even do it and how do you – then you meet other people. All that – you know when you have no clue at all and you first start and then you don't even know the
– still don't
know. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure yet. We're figuring that out. Yeah.
But it's like that. It's the – you know, the comedy, you see people on television telling jokes and you go, oh, that looks fun.
Yeah.
But then when you actually say, oh, I want to do this and I want to be that guy on stage, well, how do you make that happen and how do you meet people and how do you – find the clubs and how do you write jokes and get on, you know, all that mechanics, all the business side of it. That's kind of, I learned that.
Yeah.
And I had like one or two jokes, you know.
And I would think that from moving from Chicago to San Diego, you could start all over again in that process.
Yeah, pretend like I've never done this before.
Yeah. So right, you might as well, right?
How long have you been in San Diego then?
When I said 20 years, about 20 years.
Okay.
So about I started and then right after that I came out here. So
you weren't there for very long doing comedy then?
No, I was in Chicago and I was on this one squad that we did a lot of surveillance and we worked a lot of nights, so I didn't even have the chance to do that kind of thing.
So you did surveillance in the, in the banking fraud, department?
No, this was, and I don't know if this is really interesting to your comedy radio audience.
Well, I'm interested.
I'm not saying wouldn't be, because I was about to go into some big long explanation. Yeah. I thought, no, maybe they want to hear.
I
mean,
well,
anyway.
I like the show The Wire, and so I imagine you on a rooftop with a
with
sound.
Yeah, with binoculars,
gun. Yeah. Did you do any of that?
Laser, yeah, all the time.
You did?
No, not on a rooftop.
What kind of surveillance? Were you looking like through a glory hole into a bathroom? Or
I do that just now. Okay. On weekends, you know, just around
duty.
The house. Yeah, my neighbors around the house. You know?
Revenge of the Nerds type of surveillance?
Yeah, just anything like that. No, we'd do what we were was like a support group for the rest of the office. So, like, if you're on a terrorism squad or a drug squad or an organized crime squad, you know, all those different groups would investigate their little thing. And they'd say, they'd wake up one day and come to the office and say, hey, it sure would be nice to find out where Joe Tony Banana, Big Nose.
Calabresi.
Yeah, exactly, that guy. We'd be nice to know what he does all day and who he meets with and who he hangs out with.
Right. Maria Herman.
Yeah, Maria Herman, an Australian chick.
Uh-huh.
And so they would call us, the surveillance people, and that was our specialty.
Uh-huh.
They'd say, hey, here's a guy. We want to know all about him, blah, blah, blah. And they'd give us photos and information, and then we'd go out and figure out what his deal was.
Did you have one of those boards where you'd put photos up on it and put lines between, and this is the boss and that kind of thing?
Every once in a while, yeah. I remember one night we came. Chicago was big on organized crime, as opposed to like
disorganized.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's very, you know, who wants? That's like clowns.
That's what we have here.
Just people just running around, bumping into each other
with circus music going.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, the organized crime. I remember one night watching the local news, and one of the guys that we used to follow had like got blown up or killed or something. And we go, oh, man, there's another guy we don't get to follow anymore.
So you don't have to survey him anymore?
Yeah, so you go to the big magic chalkboard and, oh, there's another guy we don't.
Would he just explode that picture of him?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we had a procedure for
just
that.
Light it on fire. Wow, that's crazy. So you did surveillance and you came out here, and then you were working on bank robberies. So were there a lot of bank robberies in San Diego in the time that you did it for the 2-3 years?
The first year I got here, for some reason, there was just tons of them. There was like, in San Diego County, there was like 400.
400
in San Diego County
in 1 year.
Yeah. And that's just way too many.
That is a lot of bankrupt.
Yeah, a lot of just.
What's a good amount? That's too many.
That seems like way too many.
We need at least 200, but 400 is
crazy. We need a decent amount, but you know, you want to have a reason to come into work. You don't want to just come in and nothing happens, but you don't want to go in and just be beat to death every day.
400?
That's crazy.
How many a day is that?
Well, a little over one.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, and they're not open on Sunday, so then.
Oh my gosh.
But
did you catch most of those people?
Probably most, yeah, more than 50%. But
okay, and so then, it's not a real good. I had a friend who was a bank robber.
Really?
In D.C. Yeah,
really?
He got
and
caught. Yeah, he got caught.
And he had. There was a bad plan. What happened?
Well, they had a big shootout with the cops.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was real bad. But he got caught. So.
Oh,
how's he doing? Is he in jail?
He's not doing well. He carjacked a judge by accident to escape, I think, at one point.
Ooh.
That's just a weird coincidence, right? Like you carjack someone and it's a judge, and then there's their kid
he
was
didn't
in the
see
back
the...
seat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, they don't like when you kidnap kids either.
No, that was an accident. I mean, he was just
But they don't say that later and go to court. It was an accident, Your Honor. I didn't mean it. Really, I don't know what happened. Yeah. I didn't see the kid. I would have not.
It was pretty heavy stuff, though. They robbed banks in D.C. for a while, and they had like a whole unit that was like armed, like that movie Heat. I mean, they had all these. Like machine guns smuggled in from Iraq or something.
Mm.
So when they were caught, they had this hideout with all
How
these,
come you like, didn't get into that?
I wear glasses.
Because I had left D.C. before that, also I'm not a bank robber. So.
No, that's two things right there. You weren't there and you don't rob banks.
No, not so much. But, but anyway, that's crazy that most of them get caught.
Yeah, and really the ones in California, I don't know, because there's a lot of branch banks here or something. There's like a bank on every corner. There's a lot of them. And a lot of guys are, heroin addicts or something.
Oh, really? That's the...
Yeah, they go in and go, I need, they don't think things through a lot of times.
Oh,
I see.
That's why they get caught.
And so it's not always the sophisticated, glamorous, made-for-TV movie kind of thing.
I see.
It's a lot of just some guy wandering in.
It's like if De Niro was like a really tweaked out guy.
Yeah, just some guy wandering in, and he's got a note that's misspelled, and I don't know, here, give me some money, and then all the banks are pretty much told.
Bank rob median down there?
So working that so long, do you think you could rob a bank?
Yeah.
Sure, because you don't have to know much.
Really?
If you don't worry about getting caught.
You think you could get away?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose. I guess.
Oh, really? You're not sure?
I mean, yeah, a lot of it's a fluke. A lot of it's like a, if you're...
What are you doing later, by the way?
They close early on Saturday, a lot of them, depends. Unless you go to Ralph's or somewhere, because those things stay open until 7.
Okay.
So you can go over and hide by the cucumbers and then pop up and grab some money and then, I don't know.
This episode of Comics Talk Robbery.
Yeah. Comics Talk Robbery. Did you ever use this as material when you were doing comedy at the same time?
No, not really. I don't know. I just always thought... I'm trying, you go up and try to have something everybody can relate to.
Right.
And then you go, hey, anybody,
grand larceny.
Yeah, anything.
That would make his job easier. Any bank robbers here tonight? All right, we're coming with me.
I'm going to catch 50% of you with these jokes.
I think you look familiar. We've got a surveillance photo.
That's pretty good. So when you first moved out here, did you try to get into comedy? Because there wasn't much going on at that time.
Yeah, no, what I did, actually, when I came out here, they had a club at the Bahia Hotel. In the, I don't know if you're ever, it's in the annals of history of comedy in San Diego. And,
keep the language clean, please.
Yeah, I know. We don't want to put anything in there. What are we doing? This is music?
Music.
I want to hear about this. This is the first time I've heard about this comedy club at the Bahia.
So, right there.
All right, so keep.
Yeah, we'll write that down. Make
right
a note.
We got a little comedy coming back to talk about.
I know, I'm sorry.
You're listening to WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Be back in 3 minutes. Bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, we are back.
Yes, the true crime edition.
Yes.
But let's get back to comedy.
Yes. So you're talking about the Bahia Hotel had comedy? I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, there's a room that looks out over the bay. It was pretty cool. And they had a Wednesday through Sunday night show.
Really?
I'm trying to think, who did I see there that you might...
Other than that, though, at the
Margaret
time...
Margaret Smith. You remember Margaret Smith? You ever see her, hear her?
No.
She's kind of an old, like, 80s comp, but she's very funny. She was there.
Okay.
They had some decent acts and stuff. And, but it was... anyway, so I showed up in San Diego, and I just went to some clubs. I went there, and I walked in, and I said, hey, I'm a comic. Can I come to your show? And then I was watching, and I said, they didn't really have an opener. They kind of had a guy that was playing the piano or doing something. And
Lou
I
Brockman.
Said... Lou Brockman. Yeah, exactly. Lou, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I could... I could be your opener. I'm a comic. I just got here in town.
Nice.
And so I did that, and then I was, you know, I was the opener for every night, like that kind of the house opener for a couple of months anyway or so.
Cool.
And then, you know, I wasn't getting paid. I got meals or something. Uh-huh. But I lived in PB, and I ride my bike down there every night.
Okay.
So, you know, as far as comedy goes in San Diego or anywhere in the world, you ride your bike like a half mile or something along the boardwalk, and then you show up at the Bahia Hotel, and then after the show, maybe the manager drives you around on the boat out in the bay and you drink or something.
Oh, wow, that sounds great.
So it was all like, it was a perfect way to get started. And then I started meeting people because other people showed up there from San Diego, people that you know probably. And
at that time, it was the Comedy Store, and that's it? Basically.
Pretty much, although I think...
That was in PB too?
No, the store was up in La Jolla still, but actually they had... Well, there was a couple places. There was one place in Oceanside called Comedy Night, I think.
Okay.
And I don't know if that... And then they tried to have a downtown location for a while in the Gas Lamp, and then they tried... what else did they have?
Was there an improv?
The improv was here, and I think that was still here on Garnett in PB.
It was on... Okay.
Yeah, where Moondoggies is.
Yeah. I wonder why that went away.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think part of it is just that, you know, you can make a lot of money selling beer in PB on
without comedy.
Yeah, without trying to, you know.
Because they continued trying comedy at Moondoggies for a long time.
Yeah, they'd have a show there. And I think I did one of those shows once in a while. I don't know if they still do that anymore.
No.
That was awful.
Moondoggies is closed anyway.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that was really rough.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened. Yeah, I don't know what happened. But that was the location for the, because I saw Brian Regan there once. You know Karen Rontowski?
No.
Karen's from San Diego or was here at that time, but she's been on Letterman and stuff. But she was there, and I think she was working as a waitress even and was opening maybe at the same time, you know, working in the club.
Yeah.
But it was the improv then.
Okay.
And then...
And you saw Brian Regan there?
Yeah, Brian Regan was, you know, and so he was would have been a youngster probably. I saw him. I think I saw him in Chicago too, actually.
Really?
Who else did I see in Chicago that would be...
Was he great even back then?
Yeah, he's one of those guys that... That's when I first started. There was one club that I used to go to because I'm trying to get a handle on this whole thing. And then say, oh, the headliner is this week, blah, blah, blah. And I go, oh, the headliner. And so I go to the show and say, here's the headliner. And it'd be like Brian Regan. I think, wow, he's really good. And then I go the next week and the new headliner would be somebody else. And I go, you know, they're not so good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's different levels of really good headliners. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing I thought, everybody that's a headliner is going to be really killer.
Uh-huh.
And it turned out, not always, you know.
Right.
But the other guy that
there's probably three people as good as Brian Regan, period, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. And I've looked at his old stuff, and I've looked at his new stuff now, or I mean, what he does now.
Uh-huh.
And you can see how he's even stronger now, you know, just as far as his material and his...
Well, we had talked about the other day about how he kind of had an epiphany moment where he kind of just changed his act, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think I was talking, yeah, because he was one time was saying that when he started in Florida, he was trying to do jokes that he thought of that were real complicated. You know, have you dream up things, this will be funny if I talk about how aliens from outer space landed in my backyard and they make up some weird story.
Uh-huh.
And and then he started doing what he does where he'd say, oh, you know, I went to the airport and the taxi driver dropped me off and he said, have a nice flight. And I said, you too. And
really more general, relatable
kind of
stuff.
Yeah, that kind of stuff that's real not as complicated and real, like you say, relatable.
Yeah.
But then he also got that character thing going. And so that character idea or the way he talks and presents things makes it, you know, he can read the phone book. You know?
He's so funny.
He goes, hey, anybody got a phone book?
I wish I could do. I was watching a clip of him the other day where he's talking about just simple stuff like two logging trucks passing each other.
Hey,
you know,
where are you going?
Hey, you going with those logs? Oh, you going that? I'm going this way with the logs. You know, a simple phone call could have taken care of
that. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, but it's like the idea. That's what kills me about him because he has that idea. Okay, the logs, they could have just kept them where they were. That's the joke.
Yeah.
But he doesn't just leave it at that.
No, he acts it out.
Yeah, he acts it out in a way that's just
two truck drivers looking at each other going, oh, you're bringing the logs? Yeah, that's right. I'm going this way with the logs. That's just so funny.
That's a pretty good impression of him.
Yeah, yeah.
I love him.
So, Kurt, you work pretty much clean now, right?
I used to have my Def Jam days, you know, back in the day.
Oh, did you?
Oh, you did.
You know, everybody does, you know.
Uh-huh,
of course, yeah. Anyway, no, I never.
Definitely.
You never worked?
Not really.
Yeah.
I never did. I always just... Yeah, I've always worked clean, and I don't know.
Is that a conscious effort on your part, or just that's what you thought was funny?
Yeah, mostly that's what I thought was funny. I mean, there's a lot of things that I see. There's some people that use the F word, you know what the F word is. I don't know what that means, but everybody always says,
Fluff puff.
That is the F word from now on.
The S word is side me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We don't use that one.
No, don't say that. But people use it, and some people use it well.
Yeah.
Who's it? I can't think of his name now. I saw him at the store, and he came in, and he used it like...
Dave Wright.
He uses a different F word usually. Yeah.
Jimmy Schubert.
Oh, he's great.
And but he uses it like every 3 times a second, I would say, at least. Yeah. But he's a guy that can use it in a way that it doesn't sound like it's forced. It doesn't sound like it's, you know...
It's a protein scramble! How many fucking chickens have to die?
Nailing impressions.
See that bit that he does? And nowhere in the world have I ever seen that on a menu, by the way. I've never seen a protein scramble.
Yeah,
you know, the chicken... Chicken with eggs. He's like, you take the chicken out of the egg and put it back in the chicken. Who's in the kitchen? The Barnyard Strangler? It says in the breakfast it's a vendetta. I love him.
But I saw him come in one night on a Wednesday night, and in one of those, you know, there's 12 people in the audience, and everybody's gone up and done their little jokes, and it's kind of funny. And he comes in, and he just starts off ripping on the Chargers or something. You know, Chargers, yeah, what, you know, blah, blah, just going on and on. And then he goes into his material, and, you know, the people are just dying.
Yeah,
you know?
He's really
funny. But anyway, there's people that use it in a way, and then there's other people, I think, that just, that's the way they talk, and they don't have any purpose to it. And so that's what I hear probably, I think, more of that. When I hear it, I think sometimes it's more of that, and so I don't know. Anyway.
I think maybe it helps if it's like really ingrained into that character that they're doing, you know, that it's really part of them that makes it sound natural, like it's not a forced word.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I like. And the other guy that used to would say anything or do anything that I saw back in the day, you know, was Bill Hicks. And I don't know if he actually, when I would go watch comedy, because I would go out to open mics in Chicago, but then I would go to this club on weekends and take friends and say, hey, you know, there's going to be, you know, because I would go watch these guys. Well, then I learned, like, Brian Regan was one that was really good, and then Bill Hicks was another one. And
did you see Bill Hicks?
I was talking to Ryan about it and trying to remember, and it would have been in the early 90s.
In Chicago?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, in Chicago at this one club that was kind of the A room in the town at the time. And
he really impressed you?
Yeah. I've seen him get like standing ovations and stuff.
Oh, no kidding.
But at the time, you know, he looked older and acted older than he was. I think he was in his 20s or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. At the time.
Well, he started when he was like 14 or something like that.
Yeah, but he'd be, and this is when you could do this, you know, he's on stage smoking, you know, and just talking. Uh-huh. Hey, he was just strong, but he could be vulgar and stuff too, but it wasn't offensive at least.
It seemed to work, yeah.
Was he popular globally back then, or did he kind of take off after he passed away?
I think he had some pretty good specials, I think, that are on video now. So I think he was, you know, he was popular and he was on, like, you know, the Tonight Show and Letterman and stuff, I think, back then.
Yeah.
I think sometimes he would go on. I think I saw him once on Letterman or something where he goes out and starts talking about abortion or something, you know, and his political views. And he's just up there going, hey, you know, I don't blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if the audience was getting it or not much, but, you know, but the people in the, you know, at the show knew who he was and booked him anyway.
Right.
But,
was he selling out, though?
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, this was just a club, and I don't know if it was always sold out. And this, I think there was probably, this was more like back when people would do like a Wednesday through Sunday kind of show. It wasn't just Friday or Saturday either. So during the week, it wouldn't be sold out. It'd be, you know, maybe Friday and Saturday would be.
Okay.
But they had sometimes, I think this one club had 3 shows on Saturday or Friday sometimes. They'd have like a 7, 9, and 11 or something like that. But anyway, he was one of the guys that, another guy that, you know, could work blue or work.
Yeah.
But he didn't do it to, you know, to shock anybody. It's just the way he was, you know. But he was real strong. So that's one extreme to the other.
When you were first getting into comedy or when you were younger, when you listened to comedy, what were some of the... you know, influences that you had back then, like some of the comics that you remember?
Oh, I don't know. Everybody, I think, you know, George Carlin and Cosby and Noah. I mean, you can't beat Noah building the ark. How long can you tread water and stuff like that?
Uh-huh. Nice. Okay, cool.
I don't know. Maybe that's one of those bits that, to me, that seems like one of those universal bits that it's the Lord, Noah.
Yeah, I remember that bit. That's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of stuff. I'd remember that when I was a kid. Because we'd play you play records and stuff.
You know,
the big LPs. They have on the Madhouse, you know, the big LPs hanging on the wall down there.
My parents had that.
Yeah, no, that's... But I'd listen to that with my brothers and stuff. So those kind of people. Who else was... George Carlin, though, was funny. I remember him a little bit, I think, when he was... He was like a straight guy, you know, straight crew cut and
before
suit
he was
tie.
Gay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And we all know what happened then.
Yeah.
No, but he was, before he was like the long haired.
Right. He was more square, basically.
Yeah. He was a straight guy that did jokes and just did jokes about, they were funny. They were
funny
jokes. I don't
know if square is the right word, but.
That probably back then it might have been. I don't know. But yeah, he was just a, you know, a typical looking, coming out with a little narrow tie, a sport coat or a suit and.
Johnny Carson style.
Yeah. He looked like Johnny Carson, had a crew cut and everything. And
yeah.
So.
Well,
we got one segment left.
Yeah, we're getting through.
Have we gotten into? We need to get into some stuff. So
a little bit.
All right, well, you got to drive the next segment.
I'm trying, okay. But you guys.
I'm sorry. I get
you guys are on a date.
I hijack this thing.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah. I mean,
and we're actually going to hijack a truck after this and rob some banks. So
yes. Yeah, we'll be. It'll
some
be logs.
We'll have some. We got one more segment. Come back with Kurt Swan. It was the WSRadio.com Worldwide Leader in Internet Talk. Bye.
Welcome to Comics Talk Comedy with your hosts, Jeffrey Bilodeau and Jesse Egan.
All right, so it is the final segment. So, Kurt, you're a regular at the Comedy Store. When did you first get into there?
I don't remember how they worked that, you know, being regular. But I, when I got here and I was at the Bahia, shortly after that, probably, you know, 6 months later, when I was doing that Bahia gig, then I went to the Comedy Store because I met people and I went up there and then I was on the best of shows, and I think the manager at the time would have his own idea of what, you know, should be the regular at the time, and so he would let me perform. So I did that, and then I think Mitzi saw me one other time and said, oh, he's good, you know, or whatever. I'm not sure what she said, but that's my impression of what she might have said.
Right.
Anyway, so it would have been, you know, probably shortly after I've been here, although I got a lot of stage time. They had a lot of different nights. They had a Tuesday night show there. They had a lot of different shows. Mm. Almost every night. I think they had open mic on Monday. They had Best Of on Sunday. They had, anyway.
Any of those comics still doing it that you were with when you started back then?
Yeah, like Lamont Ferguson.
Okay.
He has that show up in Carlsbad, and then he does stuff up. He lives up in L.A. And then Karen Rontowski that I mentioned was also back then. And Chris Klauber is still involved in comedy, doing different things. But he was back then doing a lot of material. Uh-huh. Who else? Wally Wong was. Yeah. Was then, and
why did you laugh at Wally?
Just because I just see him at the store all the time. Yeah. Like, Wally.
What about Albert? Albert was back then?
No.
Albert is in Texas then.
Oh.
Yeah, Albert came. Yeah, he wasn't here then. And and then other people, it's hard to kind of put a date on a lot of the calendar.
Right.
Well, Dangerous Dick was around then, and Guam Felix.
Yeah, there's different people that came along that weren't there exactly when, you know, some of the first people I remember were like Lamont and Karen. Because, like I say, I saw Karen working as a waitress, also being the opener for Brian Regan at the Improv. Yeah. And I remember, okay, that was probably soon after I got here. That would have been a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And do you ever go up to L.A. to perform?
I go up there some. I've been, you know, like the Comedy Magic Club.
That's Hermosa Beach, that one?
Yeah, that one down there.
That's a big one, right? That's the Jay Leno Club, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the one I don't know if he still does. Well, he probably doesn't now, but he used to go there every Sunday night.
I heard he still does.
No, he probably does. I mean, he could because, you know, he's, from what I understand, is just like a work.
Did you ever get to see him?
No.
I heard he's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I never have seen him live. The only big name that I happened to be at a club and just showed up was Seinfeld showed up one time at Improv.
How was that?
It was good. I mean, it was funny because he said, hey, I'm going to be on Letterman, and I want to just do like 5 minutes. I got some bits that I'm trying to work out. And it was just funny to see him up there. Yeah, I'm blah, blah, blah. I'm doing the Academy Awards. Or he's doing these jokes about this stuff. But then he did a joke like Seinfeld about paperweights. Uh-huh. I remember this so funny because paperweights? Who needs paperweights, you know? And, you know, where are these people working on the back of a – where's their desk at the office? Like on the back of a flatbed truck?
Right.
Or are they on a crow's nest of a pirate ship?
I remember that bit. Yeah, the crow's nest on the clipper ship. He said. I think he used that at the beginning of one of his episodes.
It's just – anyway, that's kind of – I saw him. But I've gone to a few things and then other – like some corporate events up there or
– Have you done the store up there?
Yeah, I've done the store a couple times, but I don't remember which room. But it was never – it's never one of those things where I thought, oh, I need to get up here to do 3 minutes in front of nobody on a whatever night. I mean, I wasn't like in the main room on a weekend or anything like that. So the attraction of going up there has never been real strong.
I don't know
what you guys – if you guys go up there a lot or not or –
No,
but we've been a couple times. And,
yeah, that's kind of the way I'm. I know where it is, and I've been there. And,
yeah.
So one thing about you is that you're one of the more established comedians in the scene, but you still kind of write new jokes. You know, I think
really?
That, yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice anybody's paying attention.
No, but I mean,
that's good.
You're different every time I've seen you. You know, like a lot of times the people that are, you know, been doing it for a while, you know, you talked about Wally, it's kind of like, this is what you're going to get every time, you know. So is that something, do you still try to write every day or?
Yeah, and you know, I've been working on that in this past year. What I do, I write, one of the things I do is I write for a comic strip, a guy that I know that was actually one of the people I started with, Steve Kelly. I don't know if you know his name, but he was a political cartoonist. He has a comic strip, you know, in, syndicated in newspapers, so I submit ideas for material to him. He doesn't use them all, but so that forces me to have this little...
That's cool.
You know, there are characters in the comic strip, and you write out, oh, this person says this to that one, and they go, hey, you're an idiot, blah, 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 or whatever.
Mm. How many panels? Is it like a quick, you know, three-panel comic strip?
Yeah, it's like in the on the comic strip page. So it's normally, I think there are three or four panels, and then maybe the Sunday one's a bigger one.
Is that like writing structure for a joke, like set up middle punchline since it's three panels?
Or? Yeah, I usually try to end on the, you know, the here's the funny part, you know. And
forces you to write short. Funny jokes.
Yeah. In fact, you know what I'm doing, too, that you got? I don't know if I told you. I think I told Jeff. Mm. But I'm taking this late-night writing class at Flappers in L.A.
Oh, wow, cool.
And the guy that's teaching it worked for Letterman, was one of his writers.
Oh, great.
And so anyway, but it's that same idea, and it's very regimented to the, you know, not that those jokes are good to use in your act because they're real topical and they disappear tomorrow.
Okay.
But it's that idea of, you know, here's the setup. And he says the setup should be, if you're typing it out on a word thing, it should be like one line. That should be the setup, no more than that. And then the rest of it, the whole thing should only be like three lines.
Okay.
And so it's like, you know, we don't want this big, long
story. And
he means
that for joke writing in general, right?
Well, he means that for this late night structure specifically, but
like for late night TV?
Yeah.
Writing like monologue jokes.
Yeah, monologue jokes. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, because he says, you know, I mean, that's what it is. If you listen to a monologue, I mean, you've always heard them. And then you, when you go back and you think, oh, yeah, that's what it is. Hey, today I saw that blah, blah, blah. And that's real short, you know, Leno or anybody says that right up front.
Okay.
And it's so hot out. How hot is it? You know, and that kind of thing.
For me, that was hard. It took me about 3 hours to write 10 monologue jokes for some writing packet.
Yeah.
Because it's not my style. It's very kind of, I wouldn't say hacky, but it is somewhat hacky because you're just kind of talking, you know, you're trying to dumb it down.
Yeah.
So it was very difficult. So are you learning different techniques to try to improve on that?
I just think the discipline of, you were asking about if I write new stuff, I think the discipline of doing that actually kind of bleeds over a little bit into the rest of what I do, and that it makes you look for ideas and makes you look for material, you know, in the paper or just when you see things on the street. Oh, that's, you know, that's funny.
That's great.
So that I do that. And then so those kind of things, the class plus having to write for this comic strip. And then the other thing I've done that Paul Ogata, you know Paul.
Sure.
He says, I was talking to him, he says, you know, why don't you try Twitter? Because Twitter is another thing that's 140 characters.
Yeah.
You've got to do something, say something, and get it done in 140 characters, and makes you, you know, makes you think. It makes your creative bustle, if you have one, whatever it is, makes you do something. So
and makes you figure out how to condense things and make them clear and short.
Yeah, and so, but then you can still take that, and you could do it. You know, you could take an idea on Twitter, Jeff, and make it fit with your style. You take that idea and then blow it up into your bit or perform it or however you want to do it. But it's still, so I find that some of these things, the more I work on one thing, it bleeds over to another, adds on, you know, so that's what I've been doing as far as writing goes. I try to do some of that every day. And
that's cool.
Well, we're coming up to the end. What is the worst show you've ever done?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what there's there's so many, you know, honestly, I don't know if there's like, I think the worst show all fits in the category of, this is awful. Mm-hmm. You're just standing up there going, there's nobody's listening. I'm in a bar. Where was it that I was in?
There's a liquor sign.
Yeah, no, it's not that. These are. I like Winston's, and I will never mention the liquor sign again.
Yeah, right.
Just wait till Friday, at least. I may go by there tonight just to talk about it. Just show up.
So it isn't just one that sticks by in your brain?
No, but I was trying to think. There was somewhere the other day that I was. Oh, I know. I was just recently. Maybe it's the most recent ones. That's the ones that seem the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgotten. I've just pushed the other ones out of my memory. But I was at a brewery in Santee or somewhere, and it was, the sound system was not very good. There was, I think this was during the March Madness, there were basketball games above the bar, and it was a big high ceilings, concrete floor, and I'm up there blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking, no, but you're not listening,
you're not
are you?
Not listening at all.
Yeah, and it's just like, and you do that, and you think, what's going on
That's
here?
That's brutal.
Is there one show that sticks in your mind as the best?
I think any time I've been in a big theater, like over 1,000 people, and the audience is really, you know, responsive, then you say, wow, this is pretty killer.
You've done a lot of big theaters for 1,000 people?
Not a lot. I did, when I was in the comedy competition in San Francisco, there was a couple of venues that were like that, that were 1,000. And then I did a charity when I first got to San Diego, the Symphony Hall downtown. And it was like that there. It was like 1,400 people.
Wow.
And it's the kind of thing where you go out and it just like almost knocks you down because it's the energy of the audience. And,
that's amazing.
And you go, wow. And so that kind of stuff makes up for the.
Yeah, that's a great feeling, huh?
Yeah, that makes up for
one final jab.
I love Winston's. I'm coming back.
It's cool.
Yeah, if we have you back.
Yeah, I know. I won't be able to
Where
get
can they
the
see you on Twitter?
Yeah.
Kurt Swan, at Kurt Swan.
At Kurt Swan. Nice. WSRadio.com.
Bye. Thanks, man.